In today's Mishnah, from the third and fourth Mishnah, from the seventh Perek, Masechta Nazir, the Mishnah begins. Aval haschachot v'hapraot. So in yesterday's Mishnah, we discussed the different ways that a Nazir could become tamemet, and it's only in those ways that we mentioned that he would ruin his Nazirut. So we'd have to restart the count, and before doing so, after becoming tahor, clearly, he would also have to bring this various korban that the Nazir has to bring if he's tamemet. In these Mishnahs, what we're going to learn today, we're going to see the other cases where he becomes tamemet, but it doesn't actually ruin his count. So the Mishnah says, the first case is schachot and apraot. Schachot refers to branches of a tree that are covering over the ground, and underneath it there was a mace, or some of them. Upraot refers to wood or stones that are sticking out from a fence. And there is a kazayit metz underneath one of these, and it was not known when the person walked past them whether he went under the branch, or what the branch that tum underneath it, or the praot, or these projections that had the tum underneath it. So it would become tamim, it would be considered tamimet, but let me misafek. Beta pras refers to a field in which a grave has been ploughed. And this particular region, as we'll learn about it in later Masechtas, but a certain region of it, if anyone goes into that, it would become tamimet misafek, because you don't know whether the person actually was maced. He caused to move even an etzem kesorah, a small bone that's the size of a sorah, a barley, like we mentioned in yesterday's Mishnahs. And similarly, ve'eretz ha'amim, also, we've learned this previously, that they made a gzer regani chutz la'aretz, bringing it outside of Israel, that because there's doubt whether all the various, we don't know whether the various graves are and tumah, therefore the chachem will gozer tumah al eretz ha'amim, tumah chutz la'aretz. The next is ha'golel v'hadofek. Now there's many different explanations of the golel dofek, exactly what they are. We're simply going to go according to the Bar Tanura, and which is also Rashi's explanation, that the golel refers to the covering, the stone that goes over the kever, over the grave, and the dofak refers to the side pieces of stone that on either side that hold up the dofek. Again, you can see Kati for many other explanations regarding that. Urevi'it hadam, revi'it we said is about 150 mil or something like that, of blood from a met, v'ha'ohel. Here referring to the ohel itself. Now previously we mentioned the fact that tumah tamet can be transferred under ohel, meaning anything that's under the same covering as the corpse itself will become tamemet. So you're referring to actually the tent or the covering that was over it, if someone touched that covering without being inside it. The rov ha'atzamot, this refers to again a volume of bones. The Bar Tanura points out here that the Mishnah is only excluding the case where someone is ma'ahil, meaning standing over the rova kav. As we said in yesterday's Mishnah, it said it have to be a chatzi kav, however, meaning double the volume, to be this counted one of the cases with where it would ruin the count of the Nazir. However, if he touched a rova kav, or he carried, or caused to move a rova kav, according to Bar Tanura, it would ruin his count. Next, the Mishnah explains for kelim shenagu bamet. If someone touched kelim, utensils, they came into contact with a met, and that would make him tameh for 7 days as well. This is based on a special din. Pasuk says kachal al cherev, that the kli, say, or some opinions, is actually a metal kli that actually comes and touches the met itself. Also, it has a status of yavot hatuma. And if that touched an individual, that would make him tameh tumat shiva as well. He'd make him tameh 7 days as if he touched a corpse. However, this is the kli that's being the source of tumah, making tamei met, and not the corpse itself, so it doesn't ruin his count. But he's still tamei met, it's stuff that become tamei met before he can continue counting. Let's continue. V'yamei sofro, or v'yamei gomro. Here referring to a nazir that is counting his 7 days after it became tamei from his tzara'at. So there's a nazir metzora. So we've explained this before, that a metzora is an individual that has this spiritual ailment that is manifests itself with, a white mark on the skin, once confirmed by the Kohen, and he say, for example, one situation, we'll learn about this all in Masechta Nagaim, say, two white hairs grew, then he would be confirmed as a Metzora, and then he would have to wait till he heals. And after he heals, that 7 days of counting, what the Mishnah is saying is that would not count to his Nezirut, but it wouldn't ruin it. It doesn't have to do with Tumat Emet, but that's why I'm mentioning it here, that it's something else that also interrupts but doesn't ruin his count. The Yemei Gomro, this refers to when the Metzora himself becomes confirmed as being a full Metzora, as being a Metzora Mukhla. For example, the Kohen identifies the two white hairs grew out of the white mark, or the white mark spread, or there's a healthy part in the middle of it. Those are different simanim that make him a confirmed Metzora, and he'd simply have to be out of the camp until he is cured. So during that period, it wouldn't count. If he was a Nazir as well, it wouldn't count to his count. Al-Elu, Eino nazir megaleach aleihem. Eino megaleach. So the nazir wouldn't have to shave his hair and wouldn't have to bring this korbanot. However, Mishnah says, umaze beshlishi ubeshvii. He would still have to become tahor if there's a case of tumamet, not the case of matzora. He'd still go through a tahara process of being sprinkled with mechatat the third and seventh day. However, as we've already explained to you previously, that eino soter takomim, in these cases, it wouldn't ruin his count. So if he was a nazir for, say, 10 days, and then one of these things occurred interrupting it, and he was a nazir for 30 days altogether, that was his nazirut, he could simply continue. Umat chilu mene miyad. And he could simply continue his count after he's immersed in a mikvah to become tar from that tumah, and then continue his count. The korban eino doesn't have to bring any korban, as explained. Mishnah continues. Be'emet amru. Be'emet amru means, according to the Rishama, this is halacha l'moshe mesinai. Yemei hazav v'hazava. This refers to a zav, and a zav refers to a male or woman has a particular emission that makes them also have to go through a period of time of counting to make themselves tahor, also 7 days. Again, those details I think we discussed previously, and we're going to do it in much more detail later. However, just for the moment, again, they have a 7-day purification process. Similarly, it says, v'yemei hesker shel metzora. That'll be a situation where the coins identified a white mark, but they hadn't seen the simanim that make him a confirmed metzora. So it would have to go into quarantine for a 7-day period. Hare elu olimlo. So the case of the counts of a zav, zava, and a metzora during his hesker, this first mishnah ends by saying it's a halachal moshe mesinai, that it would indeed count to his nazirut, and it wouldn't. The fact that he had this other thing to count wouldn't affect his term of nazirut at all. Let's learn mishnah dalet. Amar Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe says mishum Rebbe Yeshua. Says kol tuma min hamet shanazir megaleach aleha chayvim aleha bebeis hamikdash. Rebbe Eliezer says in the name of Rebbe Yeshua, all the forms of tumat hamet that would ruin the nazirut of this nazir, we have to force him to recount, like we learned in yesterday's mishnah, in the second mishnah, then that type of tumat hamet would make him chayev if he went into the base midrash, meaning chayev karet if he did it majorably, would have to bring a korban if he entered the base midrash by mistake. However, kol tuma min hamet she'enon nazir megaleach aleihem, however, all the types of tumat hamet that we discussed in first mishnah today that the nazir wouldn't have to bring korbanot for, says ein chayvim aleha al bias hamikdash. If he went into the base hamikdash, if he was, say, for example, by mistake, he wouldn't have to bring a korban. Amar Rabbi Meir responds, says that can't be. Lo tiezo kala min asheretz. We know explicitly that if someone became tameh, it says in the Torah, comes tameh from one of the sheratzim, one of the 8 teeming creatures, and then he would become rishon l'tumah himself, that if he went into the Beis HaMikdash, then he would have violated the prohibition. If he were mistaken, he'd have to bring a korban. And that's a lighter form of tumah that someone who became tameh met from the types of tumah we mentioned in the previous mishnah. The form, if someone comes tameh from a sheretz, all he has to do is a mikveh, and by that night, once it's in 3 stars in the skies, we learned from the first mishnah that we learned together in the bringing brachon, then it'd be completely tahor. So in that case, if someone was tameh from that form of tumah, he violates a prohibition. So kal v'chomer, how much more so from these other forms of tumah that we mentioned in the previous mishnah, where despite the fact that nazir doesn't ruin his nazirut, he'd become tameh for 7 days. So therefore, clearly, Rabbi Meir disagrees and says, no, he would also violate the prohibition for those forms of tumah as well. I'm Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva continues. Dantim lifnei Rabbi Eliezer. Well, I was trying to bring a kal v'chomer in front of Rabbi Eliezer, which is ma etzim kesora. We learned in the second mishnah and yesterday's mishnas, she'enu matameh adam be'ohel. We said that halacha moshe min sinai, if a person is in the same room as an etzem, a bone that is the size of se'orah like a barley, that he doesn't become tameh at all. And we said there, hanazir megaleach al magol masa'ol, that it would still ruin the nazirut. Revi'it adam, which we learned in today's mishnas, that revi'it adam, the volume of adam, shehu metameh adam be'ohel, that makes someone tameh be'ohel, meaning if it's in the same room as an individual, he would become tameh. Eino din shiyeh hanazir megaleach hamagol masa'ah. How much more so then would you say nazir would ruin his nazirut? He would have to shave for it and bring korbanot. Now let's restate that. Yesterday mishnas will let etzem kesorah. Etzem kesorah seems to be more lenient than a revi'it adam, because etzem kesorah can only transfer tumat hamet by way of direct contact, maga and masa, meaning and in causing it to move, but cannot make someone tameh be'ohel. And we said that an etzem kesora would ruin the term of nizirut. Revi'it adam, as we know today, is a type of tumat hamet that can transfer in all ways. Ohel, maga, masa. And we said in today's mishnah, said it wouldn't ruin it. So Rabbi Kiva said it should be a kal v'chomer. if etzem kesorah, which seems more lenient, ruins it for the nazir, kavachomer should have reviewed adam as well. So Amar Ali, he responded to me, ma ze akiva, that's not a kavachomer, and he left it open. Ein danim kan mekavachomer, says, what are you saying over here? You can't do a kavachomer in this manner. But Rabbi Eliezer didn't explain why. Ukishabati, and Rabbi Kiva said, Makam Vartiti Dvarim Lifner Yoshua, when I gave over this Kavachomer to Rabbi Yoshua, Amarli, Rabbi Yoshua said back to me, Yafei Amarta, you said well, meaning your logic was sound. However, Ela Ken Amru Halacha. The fact that Etzim Koso Ora, we learnt from Halacha Lamoshe Mesinai. And it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And so these dinim, once you're dealing with concepts that are Halacha Lamoshe Mesinai, you can't start drawing Kal v'chomer is one to the other. You can't start saying that Riyat Adam is more chamor than Eitzim Kesora, because we're not dealing with the normal systems here. We're dealing with the concepts which are halacha l'moshe mesinai, and consequently, that's the basis of why Rabbi Eliezer says you can't draw a kal v'chomer in this situation. Those Mishnah today.